Escape. Poison. July 28, 1950. Tired of everyday routine. Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape. Designed to free you from all, from the four worlds of today, for half an hour. High adventure. Tonight we escape to India, the story of a man trapped in his bed by corrupt of those deadly snake, poisonous snake in the world, as Roald Dahl tells it in his terrifying story, Poison. Buddy, listen, it's an awfully good story, but to get the points, you're going to understand about two things. What kind of a guy Harry Pope was, what kind of snake a corrupt is. Firstly, the correct, you spell it K-R-A-I-T. They're in India. The corrupts are little snakes, sometimes not more than 3-4 inches long. You have to look real careful if you're going to see one at all. Really, almost like a worm, except the most poisonous snake in the world can bite faster than a bumblebee. And when it does, it go off like a firecracker, swell up like a hot water balloon, and then fly the angels. Correct? Tiny little snake. Now about Harry Pope, funny guy. He had it in for anybody who wasn't American, didn't speak his language. He called them foreigners. Called them the army word, gook. Didn't matter, they were French, Italian or Japanese, gook, foreigner, he would say, was kind of buggery on the subject. Funny guy. Well, Harry and me, we got sent up to Bombay on this construction job. That's where the trouble started, you see. Except for the two of us, the crew were made up of local boys, Hindus and Muslims, 40 of them. Harry was like a cat in a room full of dogs, had his back up every minute. After a month or so, it began to wear him out. Got to his appetite, wasn't right. He was smoking 3 or 4 packs a day. He wasn't getting any sleep. I used to try to straighten him out. I used to tell him he was wrong, Harry. Now, Woody, there's no use talking. Woody, listen, Harry. They're all good boys. Why don't you take it easy? Harry, Woody, you and I are good friends, but there are a lot of things you just don't understand. Woody, you ought to take it easy, Harry. They're all human beings, just like you and me. Harry, they're gooks, Woody. Foreigners, look it. Think about it this way. How would you like your sister married one of them? Woody, I haven't got a sister anyway. You asked me that before. Harry, yeah, you see, you won't even make the effort to understand. Woody, well, that's how it was with Harry. You know that correct, by the correct. Now, what happened? The June of last year, hot and sticky, even the sun was down, putting on a clean shirt to go out. Drove and Woody puts on shirt, cheerful whistling. Woody, he was cheerful whistling. Harry exclaims, oh man. I'm really beat tonight. Harry says, oh man, I really got really feeling beat. Woody, cheerfully, Harry. Whistling, Harry. Exclaims, oh man, I'm really feeling really beat tonight. Woody, still whistling. Harry, what's with you, Woody? What's that clean shirt for? Woody, going out. Harry, water, got a date? Woody, oh no, I thought I'd stop off with that to Gavelli's. He promised to show me the photos he made down in Leper Colony. Harry Gavelli? Woody, yeah, these photos are supposed to be pretty interesting stuff. How about it, Harry? Would you like to come along? Harry Gavelli? He's a Hindu, a gook, foreigner. I don't want to spend no evening with a gook, shoot. Not old Harry. Woody. So I went off to the doctors. Harry went to bed with a detective story. A very interesting evening later, old Harry was pretty sorry that he stayed home. Woody. I didn't leave the doctor's until around midnight. When I drove back through the sleeping city, very quiet and dark, I thought about the pictures of lepers I'd seen. I remember thinking, I hope Harry wakes, because I like to tell him about those pictures. Woody. And when I got home, glad to see the light, his room was still burning. Dorothy's Woody. Calls, Harry, you up? No answer. I didn't get an answer. Probably fell far asleep reading. Calls, Harry, are you awake, Harry? Harry low. Shh, Woody, stop yelling. Woody footsteps briefly. Woody, Harry, boy, what's the matter, kid? Harry, shh, stop. Woody, take off your shoes. Woody, I couldn't tell what was the matter, but I knew you were serious, whatever it was about. So I did what he wanted. Shoes drop on the floor. Woody, he was in bed under his netting, with a reading light on, his book on the floor. He lay perched still, his feet came halfway to his chest, wearing those corny pajamas, with big cheeks all over them. And the pajamas were soaked in sweat, was rolling off his face. He lay like a corpse, flat on his back, his hands lying dead on the bed. His hands, even the backs of them, were sweating. His eyes looked like he was watching somebody. Saw his legs off. To Harry, it's Woody. What's the matter, boy? Harry. Shh, it's cracked. Woody, a crack? Where? Harry, shh, for mercy's sake, shh. Woody, where? Where's the crack? Harry, in here. Woody, under the netting? Harry, no, under the sheet. Woody, where did it bite you? Harry, has it yet? Woody, where? Under the sheet. Harry, right on my belly. Woody, holy son of a... Harry, shh, you've got to wake it up. If you don't cut out that yelling. Woody, how did you get in there? Harry, I don't know. Came out under the netting. Guess it's been in the bed all day. Woody, he's a big one. No, cracks don't have to be very big. Looked about 3 or 4 inches. Coming on my side. I couldn't move. I went under the sheet. One of them folds. One of them wrinkles. There over my belly. Woody, how long did it come? Harry, hours, hours and hours, days and weeks, Woody. I've been waiting a year for you to get home. Well, you must be sleeping in there, huh? Harry, yeah, I think it is. Well, you're right then. Listen, Harry. Maybe I'll wake up and go away. Go home or something, huh? Harry, I can't wait, Woody. Be lying here scared. I'll move sudden. Wake it up. Harry, yeah, you'll scare it. And it'll bite. Harry, been lying here scared to death. I'll cough. Woody, you're right. Don't you worry about a thing. Harry, moving off. I don't know. Don't just what to do. Harry, where are you going, Woody? Don't leave me. Woody, the thing was to be ready to crystallize the bite right away. I heard about one method. Went out the kitchen, got a whole fistful of those big kitchen matches, took them back to the bedroom, ranged them all over the heads, with all the heads together. Held it like you hold a torch. Harry, what are you going to do? What's the match you for? Woody, now listen, Harry. Here's how it goes. These will characterise it. See? A count three, slip back the sheet. You jump out of bed. Now you follow me. Harry, you're out of your mind. Woody, no, listen, Harry. If it's correct, bites you. I strike the bundle and press it against the spot. It burns out the poison, see? While the matches, Harry, get away from me. You bubble-headed maniac. Well, you know, Harry, I'm only trying to... Harry, shh, listen, Woody. Take those matches and your bright ideas and get the heck out of here. Call the doctor. Well, you know, doctor, never thought of that. Harry, shh, now get to it. Woody, Harry. Okay, Harry. Who do you want, Gabelli or Forsyte? Harry Forsyte, things are bad enough. Well, go bring the gook in here. Woody. I dug through the telephone book and found Dr. Whistled by Forsyte number and I dialed it. Phone dial rings twice, it picked up, calls a perceptive houseboy. filter slowly. This is the residence of Dr. Medbury Forsyth, please. Woody, yeah. Let me speak to the doctor. It's very urgent, health boy. But who is calling, please? Woody, Arthur Woods. Health boy, filter, who? Woody, Woods, Arthur Woods. Health boy, filter, spell, please. Woody, W-O-T-D-S. W. Health boy, filter, W. Woody, O. Health boy, filter, O. Woody, O. Health boy, filter, light. You have already said O. I have already raised it to O. Have the kindness to give me the next letter, please. Woody, it's an O, Arthur O. Have I felt it, please? Woody, look, my name is Woods. Have I felt, please? Woody, hey, W-O-O Wood, W. Have I felt it? Oh, W-W-O-O-R. Woody, D-S Woods. Have I, Woods? Oh, W-W-O-D-S, Mr. Woods. Woody, that's right. That's just right. Now let me speak to the doctor, please. Have my doctor quickly. Sorry, doctor. Not in. Call tomorrow. Disconnects. Woody, across the room, Harry lay very still, sweating, trying to keep every muscle relaxed. Face begin to twitch like a little. As scared. That twitch should spread. I called the doctor's house again. Have my, please, I do not understand. Woody, angry. Look, I said, if you don't tell me where the doctor is, they're going to come over, they're going to pull your arm off, then they're going to take you by the neck and... Husband, the doctor is in a club, please. Woody, what club? Husband, the country club. Swing 673. Disconnects. Woody, Larry lay very still, frightening the twitches, trying to keep them jumping. From jumping out of his skin, I wait for the bartender of the club. And locate Dr. Forsyth. Over about 5 minutes and nothing. I got this. Colonel. Very drunk. Are you there? Well, you listen, doctor. You've got to get out of here right away. This is Arthur Woods and my partner. He's got a snake in the bed with him. No response, doctor. Colonel. Field, of course, you will. Would you mind repeating that, old boy? Well, he has said snake. He's got a snake in the bed with him. Colonel filled out a snake. Oh, jolly, jolly, I say. Who is it? Who is this? Is this Colonel Smalls speaking? Well, doctor, please, you've got to get over here right away. It's urgent. Colonel filter Smalls, you can't. You don't fool me. Not for an instance. You don't laugh. Well, Woody, oh, please, doctor. Colonel filter laughs. Sitting on a bed? Well, listen, is this Dr. Forsyth speaking? Colonel filter, I say, of course not. It's Colonel Healthcourt. Woody, oh well, let me speak to the doctor, please. Colonel, oh, but you can't, old fellow. Woody, why not? Colonel, why? He's a jolly well passed out, don't you know? Woody, passed out. Colonel, like a mackerel? No, a snake in the bed. Woody, discuss it. Oh, you see the sand down. Woody, listen, Harry, you've got to forget all this prejudice stuff. Jabelli's your lonely chance. Harry, no, no, he's a gook. Woody, he went to Oxford, Harry. Harry, he's a gook. Woody, it's him or the Undertaker. Harry, he's a gook. Woody, I'm going to call him Harry. Harry, all right, go ahead, call him. Yeah, but he's a gook. Woody, I called him when I mentioned correct. He's quiet for a good 10 seconds, and he said it'd be right over. And he was, within 5 minutes. He felt slippers. He moved slightly into the bedroom. He was carrying his black satchel. I saw the lamplight glittering softly. His steel-rimmed spectacles. Saw his eyes, gentle eyes, his bald, brown head. I thought to myself, why? He looks just like an inventor, Gandhi. He looked slightly at Harry and smiled encouragingly. Harry looked at him. I looked at me and looked away. Gabelli, now listen at first. Must be very careful. Move the netting from about the bed. Mr. Pope, I want you to pay no attention to this. Us. You have to concentrate on being very quiet or letting the little snake sleep. He's a very little snake and he's very tired. You must tell yourself this and you must believe it's necessary for it to sleep, Harry. Yeah, yeah. Gabelli, Mr. Woods, help me. Lift the netting very slowly up and up. Good, good. Hey, what's it gonna do? What are you gonna do for me? Giovanni, shh, think about the little snake. Harry, what do you think I'm thinking about? What are you going to do for me? Giovanni, the snake, is it here? What are you, this is the one, those fowls over his abdomen, doctor. Giovanni, Harry, now we all know where it is. Giovanni, shh, pretend you're the mother of a little snake. You're keeping it warm as it's sleeping, that is good. Harry, just because it doesn't wake up and want breakfast. Giovanni, you joke, that is good. Harry, I wish I was back home in the good old USA. Giovanni, now then. Satchel opened Woody. What's that we're going to do, doctor? Giovanni, I have the serum here. You must inject it in the blood of Mr. Pope. And as he puts out a little snake, say, made breakfast to his heart's content. That harm to Mustard. But his hands were brown and slender. Astonishing depth, he spoke diagonally into the capsule of thick yellowish stuff, the serum. Then, with infinite care, he drew the plunger slowly and steadily upward, and glistening chamber filled, withdrew his needle, laid the hypodermic down, and with all the gentleness of the world, began to hold back Harry's sleeve. It was as though he was folding rare old lace. He inched the sleeve carefully under Harry's arm until a vein came into view. Giovanni, I'm going to fasten the tourniquet on your arm now. You'll be just above the elbow. Do not move your arm. Do not twitch your muscle. Willie, gently tighten the rubber tourniquet. Harry's arm began to flush dark. The vein began to swell. Black, blue, and white. Harry kept his eyes on the ceiling. Giovanni, now I'm going to insert the needle in the vein. You must not react. By that, what I mean, you must not tense your abdominal muscle. Believe me, Mr. Pope, that this will not hurt. Woody, very carefully, place the syringe almost flat against the arm. Sit the needle in sideways through the skin into the blue vein. Put it slowly, but so firmly, it went in smooth as a knife going into cheese. Harry Doc, Giovanni, shh. Harry, you're good, aren't you, Doc? Giovanni, you must believe that. Harry, you aren't going to let me die, are you, Doc? Giovanni, I am your friend. You must believe that, Harry. Doc? You wouldn't let me die? Giovanni, no, I will not let you die. Now, be still and think about that. Buddy, with all the care in the world as he pushed the needle into the vein, now he pressed the plunger down. Press the serum through the needle to Harry Pope's body. I watched Harry's eyes were the wise, gentle faces of Dr. Gambrelli. His eyes went desperately, only desperately to believe that Gambrelli had told him. Now the hypodermic was empty, and slowly it was drawn, and slowly the deft, graceful little hands loosened the rubber tourniquet. Then Gambrelli looked up, met Harry's eyes, and smiled. Harry tried to smile back. The smile jumped and twitched and dried. Harry, you're taking care of me, huh? Doc, Giovanni, yes, my son. You must be still while the serum is pumped through your body. Be very still, very assured. I am your friend, Harry, yeah. Giovanni, the serum will save you. You will escape harm. Buddy, he beckoned to me. I followed him out. We went out into the dark. Air was heavy and hot. Giovanni stared at the darkness, jammed in his fingers softly on the railing. Slight jungle background. Giovanni, your friend is in great danger. What? Yeah, what? But serum. Gave him the serum. Giovanni gave him the serum. What? But is it any good? Giovanni, it is the finest known medical science. It is worth, but it's worthless. Woody. So there it was, Harry Pope, the man who'd been an enemy to everyone. Evans, who didn't come to his country or speak his language, was now halfway through death's door. His only hope lay in Dr. Gabelli, of another race, another creed, another country, another colour. And for the first time in his life, Harry had made a gesture of friendship draws a person of another race. First time, it seemed to me the last. Gabriel, no, my friend, the serum is worthless. What can we do then? The snake is bound to wake sooner or later. Harry, move, won't be able to help yourself. The snake will strike. Gabelli, you mustn't think. Molly, look, I'll shoot it. I've got a colder gun low and flat so that even if I hit Harry, he won't be penetrating wound. If it blows the snake, the sheet and all, cover all cover clear of the bed. Huh? Gabelli, but you don't even know which of the many folds and creases in that sheet is the harbour of the snake. Woody, yeah. Gabelli, you might shoot the air. Woody, yeah. Gabelli, you must certainly wake the snake up. Snake, then. Woody, no, we can't do that. Gabelli, I think I have a solution, Mr. Woods. Woody, yeah? Gabelli, thinking hard, slowly. We will amphiphysize the snake. Yes, we will use nitrous oxide or rather ether or chloroform. I think the last chloroform, yes. Woody, we'll put the snake out right while he's lying and Harry, is that the idea? Gabelli, that is it. It was now, if you will please drive quickly down to my house and my boy will show you the way I keep my supplies. Chloroform is in a bottle of orange label. Woody, orange label. Gabelli, yes, bring it to back to as quickly as you can. I'll stay with Mr. Pope and try to keep his assured. Well, he seems to like you, Gabelli. Oh, we all have like the doctor when we are sick. There, Woody, I drove as far as I could. House by to the doctor's foot. I was a man at first. When he decided in my favour, showed me where the stuff was. I found the bottle with the orange label. Found it to make sure and took it back to the house. I eased the car up the driveway, tiptoed into their bedroom. Harry, like a child, you're my friend, Doctor. You're my pal. Gabelli, yes, I am your friend. I'm not going to let you any harm now. Let any harm now to you, Harry. Oh, well, here's Woody. He's my friend too, Doc. Woody, how's the stuff, Doctor? Harry, Woody, I've been awful drunk all my life. You know that, Woody. Woody, oh, it's okay, Harry. You're gonna be okay now, from now on. Harry, there's a doc here, my friend here. He didn't like him when he first come into the room. Room? Why? Because he was an American or even an Englishman. What do you know about that? Huh? He's my friend. Woody, oh, it's okay, Harry. You're going to be okay now. Bye. Boy, Harry, I have been precious dope. Gabelli, Mr. Woods, you have to help me. Woody, right. Woody pulled a prescription pad out of his case, tore the cardboard backing off, and twisted it into a neat little funnel. He laid it on the edge of the bed, and then he took a piece of one of those rubber tubing, which had been used as a tourniquet, and began to slide under the sheet. He went in where the sheet and land ended, across Harry's chest. He slid it down. He did so slowly that although I was watching it, didn't see it move, how I was seen to crawl about it. The tube inched invisibly on and down, down and down, past an unseen buttons of his jacket, past an unseen cord of his trousers, and then it stopped Gabelli and set it by route, which did not cross any of the creases onto the street. He was being very careful not to prod the snake a bit. He was slithering too, now sweating and biting his lip with teeth. It's funny, I remember how one was gold, a rather staring at it, where he's lynched that tube. Gabelli, now the funnel. I fit into the end of the tube we are ready. Miss Pope, this is going to be very cold. Evaporation of chloroform will cause a sharp lowering temperatures. You must be prepared for this. Harry? Gabelli. I will take rather a long time. Another factor for which you must prepare yourself. A snake is a reptile. Rat cells do not rest adequately in the sympathetics which you are intended for the use of warm-blooded animals. Bear these things in mind. Are you ready? Harry, sure, friend. Willie, he opened the door to him and began to drip the stuff into the funnel. Slowly, very slowly, drop by drop, clear liquid entered the tube and travelled the long, dark route of Harry Wolfe's pipe stomach, where the kite lay sleeping. Drop by drop, the pale, swirling vapour hung into the funnel, down there on the sheet where the tube ended. A wet, grey pack began to spread the chloroform, spreading and evaporating, spreading and evaporating. The room began to reach a bit. I remembered over places and over times, hospitals, operations, death of loved ones, smell of chloroform. Harry moans, body. Harry begins to twitch now. He knows, he seems to be agony. Harry, Woody? Woody, Harry, what is it? Harry, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Woody, don't do it, boy. Hang on, Harry. Don't do it. Woody, go already, looked at Harry's face. He reached up, pressed his knuckle against the what's of nerve. Harry's upper lip and agonized look vanished. Harry exhaled gently. Woody, the relentless dripping on the chloroform continued. Harry was getting cold. I could see goose flesh along his arm, across the top of his chest. The jacket was open. Go, Buddy. Looked as if this had stopped pouring. Go, Buddy, this is enough. I think your little friend should be thoroughly unconscious. Now, Miss Pope, you must remain very still. We're going to move the sheet now. Harry, I only think you say, Doctor. Don't go, Buddy. Mr. Woods, you take the other side. We'll have to do this ever so carefully. Woody, each other took a side of the hem. I watched Grandpa Belly and did everything that he did. He did. Harry's arms, a little flat on the bed, pointed towards his feet. He inched the shape under the free of these. It was rough because he had to do it without disturbing the main area of the sheet. When he was free of his arms, he began to rise, is slowly gathering the material in our hands as we progressed, even so slowly, down Harry's chest. He reached the end of his jacket, a sign of the snake. My hands were beginning to shake. Garibaldi pulls while I turn my head, away for air. The odour of chloroform was stifling. Then we went on, slowly, thread by thread, raising the sheet and easing it away. Down past the cord of pajamas, and down, still no sign of the snake. I stopped looking for it by now. I continued to keep my arms shaking. And then, quite suddenly, we were gone. Done. Go, Buddy, drop the sheet on the floor. Harry lay on his back, not moving, but watching us with wide, dark eyes, no really squinted at both sides of Harry and his legs. Harry, where is it? Go, Bunny. Slow, critical. It is not, as you suppose, on the outside of your pajamas, perhaps. You may be on one of the legs. Harry, hyperventilating for a moment, then starts screaming in terror. Taking seconds of chaos, much scuffling as Harry leaps out of bed, shrieking and tearing wildly at his pants. Woody and Go, Bunny try to stop him. All three yelling excitedly. When we hear the following three lines. Woody, Harry, no more. No, you fool, stop. Harry, I can't stand it anymore. Joe Buddy, stop it, stop it. Scuffle, cry, stops. Harry, no shrieking. Disintegrates to a trembling weeping. And then to sobbing. Woody, I don't see it. Joe Buddy, kick those tatters on the mane of his the remains of his pants. Woody cooks pants. Woody, no, nothing. Really. Cutting quickly with effort. The bed, under the bed. Woody, yeah. Sound bed is lifted. Woody, move your feet, Harry. Harry, move your feet. To go early. No, there's nothing. Bed is a bit set down. To feed my stomach. Are you the quite uncertain you saw a snake? Sometimes when we're very tired, we find it automatic. I always manage to get this facilities run a bit out of hand. Harry has stopped weeping, jumping above. Are you calling me out, a liar? Garibaldi, why? No, and Billy say that the industrial got sensitive. Harry, furious. Are you telling me I'm a leper? Liar? What are you, Harry? Harry, why, you lousy little quack? Call me a liar? You stinking little Hindu what? Armor with your thick pants, huh? Your fancy pants, huh? What are you, Harry? Harry? Come on up here, sticking me for a little while, your cheap, no good ministers. What is Harry? Barney, don't. Harry, throw that freezing cold water stuff all over me. What are you? Harry, take it easy. Harry, he's your friend. Harry shrieked, my friend, beat the little hunk of foreign trash, my friend. Now, why I come from, he used guys like him, the bus boys. Gabetti stunned, offended. You made a mistake. You mistake, you're wrong. I'm, Harry screamed savagely. Yeah, for bus boys, wait, it's a nothing. You're a foreigner, you're a gook, you're nothing. Why, I ought to beat you to the bloody pulp. Are you in your code of form? Yeah. Sneering, you and your staff, you're about friendship. Mama snake, I must make out like I hurt like you. Laws, that you ought to split your head wide open. You gook. Slight jungle background. Buddy, quietly, please, doctor, forgive me. Him, hearing under great strain, he doesn't seem it. Gavelli upset, but ultimately confused. A great strain, yes, he needs a good holiday. Be good night, Mr. Woods. Woody, that's all I couldn't tell. He told Harry, he's still alive, Harry, poor Harry, not Terry. He didn't die in India. He died in Chicago in a loop, got run over by a taxi cab. Taxi is third generation Irish, a real 100% white American. Maybe that means something. I don't know. Poor old Harry. Chemical crash. Believe it or not, by the very life of your life depends on things. Because you've just been listening to Escape.